A confused and fragile faith is nothing new. At times, even the earliest followers of Jesus struggled to make sense of what the Savior was doing. Such was the case with two sisters named Mary and Martha when their brother Lazarus died. John chapter 11 records their story and the incredible miracle Jesus performed in raising Lazarus from the dead. The story also helps answer the question, where is God when life hurts? Where is God when disease inflicts our body? Where is God when His timing is not ours and He seems to delay? And where is God when death, life's greatest enemy, arrives on our doorstep? God is neither distant nor detached. He is near the brokenhearted. I'm Ron Jones. Something good starts right now.
What about you? Have you ever been disappointed with God? Hello, I'm Brian Davis, and this is Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. You know, God's Word has a lot to say about faith, about trusting God with all your heart. But sometimes our fallen nature takes over. Faith becomes something more like presumption, which leads to disappointment when things don't go our way. Today, Ron offers a word of encouragement to anyone who had prayers go unanswered as he continues his teaching series, Believe, the Miracles of Jesus. Visit somethinggoodradio.org to listen to the broadcast on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. From Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where he serves as lead pastor, here's Ron with today's Something Good Radio message, The Lazarus Miracle.
Philip Yancey is an author who's worth reading because Yancey's not afraid to ask challenging and difficult questions about the Christian faith and try to answer those questions honestly. One example is a book that he published many, many years ago called Disappointment with God. And I remember when I first saw this book published, I thought, who in the world can be disappointed with God? And then I began to read the story that inspired Yancey to write the book. He was corresponding with a seminary student who was working on his master's degree, and this seminary student was writing his master's thesis on the book of Job, of all books, a book about pain and suffering and difficulty. And Yancey and the seminary student were corresponding back and forth, and then one day Yancey was surprised to get an email or a text or some kind of a note from this student who said, I don't believe it anymore. He was jettisoning his faith. He had reached a point where he was disappointed with God. And as the story began to unfold, his disappointment developed around the breaking up of his engagement and the divorce of his parents. At least two circumstances that came upon him rather quickly. And he didn't know quite how to handle those and how to factor those into his faith. And so he just decided to abandon his faith. Yancey corresponded with this young man for several months, and then he observed in his book, some people lose their faith because of a sharp sense of disappointment with God. They expect God to act a certain way, and, well, God lets them down. Others may not lose their faith, but they too experience a form of disappointment. They believe God will intervene. They pray for a miracle, and their prayers come back unanswered. Does that describe anybody here? Are you in a situation where you're kind of scratching your head, wondering, where is God in this painful situation that I'm experiencing or this confusing situation? And your faith has become fragile. Your faith is on that verge of jettisoning and running away. You're at that point of kind of throwing up your hands and wondering, is this all worth it? Is it all really true or not? Well, a confused faith is nothing new. In fact, even some of the early followers of Jesus at times were scratching their heads and wondering, what is this guy up to? Is he really the Messiah? And their faith was maybe disappointed or a bit fragile at times. And one example of that is a story found in John chapter 11. And it focuses on several people, but at the core of it is Two familiar characters in the Gospels, Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus. Lazarus has grown ill, and he eventually dies. And this throws Mary and Martha into a confused faith. That's the word that I'll choose this morning. Into maybe a place where they're wondering, where is Jesus? What is he up to? Why wasn't he here on time? He could have saved the situation. As Martha and Mary say, my brother didn't have to die, Jesus, if you had come here on time. And as the story unfolds, and I want us to turn our attention to John chapter 11 now, as the story unfolds, I find three or four things that have the potential of throwing our faith into confusion and maybe putting us into a place where we're a little disappointed with God and on the verge of running away from our faith. The first of those things is disease, and this is where we begin in John chapter 11. It says, now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her, whose brother Lazarus was ill. And so the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, John begins in chapter 11 saying, now a certain man is ill. And that certain man could be any one of us. It could be any man, any woman, any child. It could be one of you here today that received a report from the doctor's office you didn't expect. And you're facing an illness, a life-threatening illness. This early description also suggests to us that Mary and Martha and Lazarus might have come from a wealthy family, because Martha is the one you remember who cracked that expensive vial of perfume and used it to anoint Jesus. Only a wealthy family could afford such luxuries. This family also threw a big party for Jesus that's recorded in the Gospels. Again, they had the resources to do something like that. A little bit later in the story, we find Lazarus being placed in a cave tomb. Only the wealthy had burial places like that in the first century. And so this was perhaps a very, very wealthy family, and it reminds us, does it not, that money and influence and status in the community, even your friends, even a close relationship with Jesus doesn't protect you from pain and suffering and even from disease. Pain is an equal opportunity employer, is it not? It crosses economic and social and religious and ethnic, even gender and geographic boundaries. You may have enough money to buy the best medical care in the world, but that money will not buy you protection from disease and sickness and illness. This was a certain man who became ill, but it could be any one of us. And Jesus says, he drops this into the story, John does, early on to maybe reshape our expectations about this painful situation. He says in verse 4, when Jesus heard this, he said, this illness does not lead to death, for it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Is it possible that God has a different view of pain and suffering than we do? That he uses it in some measure to glorify himself? Well, that's what Jesus suggests here. He says this illness, kind of like the illness, the blindness of the man we talked about last week, where the disciples were confused. Was it this blind man or his parents who sinned? And he said, no, this man was blind from birth for this very purpose and for this very moment that God might be glorified. Likewise, Jesus says, this illness is not unto death, for it is the glory of God that is revealed in this case. You know, some of us, we're so busy trying to rewrite the story of our circumstances that we miss the glory. Let me say that again. Sometimes we miss the glory of God because we're trying to rewrite the story to get out of the painful circumstances that we're in. But God has a different view of pain and suffering, and he uses it to glorify himself. Even death, ultimately death, glorifies God, because the Bible says he raises all from the grave, some to eternal life, some to eternal death, but in both cases, the Bible would say that God is glorified. So of all the things that could confuse our faith, disease and sickness and pain is one. Another is when God seems to delay. You ever prayed for something? You're in a difficult situation and time is of the essence, and all you seem to get is silence from heaven. Let's read on in verses 5 and 6. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when Jesus heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Now I read those words and I find them amazing. Why when Jesus got news that his friend Lazarus was sick and Martha and Mary were concerned, why did he not just drop everything and go to Bethany? Why did he just linger on for 2 more days? When you and I get word that a friend or a family member is ill, I mean, we leave the office, you know, we book a flight, we book a train ride, we get in the car, we go. We go to be with the family, don't we? But Jesus doesn't do that. How strange that he would do that. And all Martha and Mary hear on the other side is silence, we might say. Is silence. He's delayed his coming. Why didn't he come quicker? Oswald Chambers, in his famous devotional, My Utmost for His Highest, reflects on this scene, and he asks this question: has God trusted you with his silence? A silence that is big with meaning? God's silences are his answers, he says. Think of those days of absolute silence in the home at Bethany. Is there anything analogous to those days in your life? Can God trust you like that? Or are you still asking for a visible sign? He goes on to say, God will give you the blessings you ask for if you will not go any further without them. But his silence, listen to this, his silence is the sign that he is bringing you into a marvelous understanding of himself. Is your faith strong enough to make room for God's delay? Delay according to your timetable, to our timetable? Is your faith strong enough to allow room for God to just be silent? Just be silent and teach us to wait on him. Sometimes those delays throw our faith into confusion and into times of disappointment.
Up next, the second half of today's Something Good radio message with Dr. Ron Jones. Today's teaching is part of Ron's series, Believe, the Miracles of Jesus. Stop by somethinggoodradio.org to watch or listen to the entire series or to download Ron's sermon notes from today's message. That's somethinggoodradio.org. While you're there, use the Explore feature at the top of the homepage to share your prayer requests with us. Our ministry team is always ready to lift you up in prayer. While sometimes God asks us to do the impossible, something that flies in the face of common sense. With the rest of today's Something Good radio message, the Lazarus miracle, here once again is Dr. Ron Jones.
A third situation that may confuse our faith is when God gives us some directions that kind of go against our common sense. Let's read on beginning in verse 7. Then after this, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. So Jesus receives the news that Lazarus is sick. He just stays where he is for another 2 days, and then after that, he says to his disciples, he doesn't say, let's go to Bethany, where Mary and Martha and Lazarus were. He says, let's go to Judea. And the disciples are scratching their heads thinking, Lord, what in the world do you want to go to Judea for? That was the epicenter of the antagonism that was growing against Jesus. And the last time they were there, they wanted to stone Jesus. It's the last place, if you're thinking in terms of common sense, it's the last place you would want to go. And why not make a straight line and a beeline to Bethany? But Jesus directs his disciples in a way and in a direction that goes against every bit of common sense in them. Do you have enough room in your theology? Do you have enough strength in your faith for God to move you in a direction where every bit of common sense counsel that you're receiving right now says, no, don't go that way, go this way? We must leave room for that. But sometimes when the Lord's directing you one way and all of your kind friends and family members might be saying, no, you need to go this direction, this is the common sense way, that throws our faith into confusion and we're scratching our heads like the disciples did and wondering, Lord, why are you directing me in this way? Jesus adds to the statement here. He says, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Remember, John is the one who loves to pick up on Jesus's contrast between light and darkness. And basically what Jesus is saying here is that even though it may be dangerous to go to Judea, it's safer to be in the center of God's will than outside of his will, even though the center of his will makes no common sense. And you may be moving into danger, but simultaneously into the center of God's will. And though it's contrary to our common sense, that's the safest place to be. The most dangerous place to be is outside of the will of God, even though there may be dangers and toils and snares all around us. It reminds me of John Newton, who penned in the Amazing Grace lyrics, through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come, 'tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. He found that the safest place to be, though surrounded by dangers, was right in the middle of God's will. And then fourth and finally, in terms of things that confuse our faith, death itself does. Let's read on beginning in verse 11. It says, after saying these things, Jesus said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. And the disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant taking rest and sleep. And then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. You know, death is really the final test of our faith, is it not? And when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when death comes knocking on our door, when we hear those words that so-and-so has died, what does that do to our faith? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and your faith has grown, God is preparing you for a transition that is sort of like falling asleep. In the Bible and in the New Testament especially, death is described in kind of a euphemistic way as falling asleep. And in one sense, a believer in Jesus Christ dies, and when they're lying in the casket or in the grave, it kind of looks like they're asleep, and they wake up in the presence of the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord, the Bible teaches us there. So those are just some things that maybe throw our faith into confusion. The question is this: where is God when life hurts? Where is God when you're thrown into one of these kinds of circumstances? Where is God when you need a miracle, like Mary and Martha and Lazarus did? Where is he in circumstances like this? Well, as we move further along in the story here, a few thoughts unfold in my mind. The first is this, that Jesus is a present reality. He's a very, very present reality. And let's pick it up in verse 17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Mary heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. That's how we always find Martha and Mary, isn't it? You know, Mary's the one that's seated at the feet of Jesus and serving. Martha is the one who's busy, busy, busy. Martha is the one whose heart is so disturbed here. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." That's the best news she had gotten that day. Your brother will rise again. Verse 24, Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Now, if Martha were a seminary student, she'd get an A+ in theology. She knows her theology well. She has some understanding of biblical theology of the afterlife. "I know my brother will rise again on that final day, the day of resurrection." Actually, did you know that the New Testament talks about seven resurrections, seven future resurrections of the dead? It's kind of a misnomer to think that everybody will rise again on the same day. Now, if you read the New Testament carefully, there are seven different future resurrections of the dead, seven different groupings of people. And everybody who goes into the grave will one day rise again. Believers in Jesus Christ and even unbelievers will have a day of resurrection, some to eternal life, the Bible says, some to eternal death. That's biblical theology as it relates to the afterlife. And Martha gets that at some level.
The next time you're in crisis and you're tempted to question God's methods, remember today's message from Dr. Ron Jones. Our trials are always designed by God to increase our faith and to reveal His glory. You've been listening to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. So glad you joined us. We'll pick it up right here next time in part two of Ron's message, The Lazarus Miracle.
The song Route 66 by Bobby Troup captured the heartbeat of a generation that dreamed of traveling the open road on US 66 from Chicago, Illinois to Santa Monica, California.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Get your kicks on Route 66 became the rally cry and part of the song's popular lyric. If reading the 66 books of the Bible was like a Route 66 road trip across America, people might do more than casually flip through the best-selling book of all time. That idea captured my heart and inspired me to write a book called The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible, making the Bible's story accessible to a new generation of people. Get your kicks on the biblical Route 66. Join me on the ultimate road trip through the Bible.
Ron's new book, The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible, is now available as a two-volume set covering the 66 books of the Old and New Testaments. For a gift of $50 or more, request your copy of the set. When you order the print books, you will also get unlimited access to the Route 66 Digital Library, a $275 value. The Digital Library contains 66 video sermons, 66 audio messages, 66 downloadable sermon notes, and 8 ebooks. To order your copy of The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible, Volumes 1 and 2, through the Old and New Testaments, go to somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible makes a great addition to any home library. Request both volumes today at somethinggoodradio.org. Now, here's Ron with a preview of tomorrow's message.
I'm just wanting to suggest to you here that when life hurts and you're asking, where is God? He's always in the right place at the right time, because His ultimate goal is not to console us, but to glorify Himself. Let Him choose the time He shows up and performs the miracle or does what needs to be done. And here, he's right there at just the right time. He's had the little theology class with Martha and with Mary and others. He's involved others in the miracle here, and He raises Lazarus from the dead.
That's next time when Dr. Ron Jones shares part two of his message, The Lazarus Miracle. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.